City Radio. This is edition 261. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in. On the broadcast today, we are going to be going to Vilnius, Lithuania. I had the chance to speak with two activists in Vilnius about their work to support Palestine in the context of the Baltics. We spoke with two organizers from the group called POPPIES, Palestine Action Group. And this conversation, I think, is important because it is really critical to get a vantage point of what solidarity organizing looks like for Palestine in other contexts. We often hear about protests in major cities like Paris or New York City, and that's important. But it's also, I think, valuable to understand different dynamics and contexts around the world of how global movements of solidarity happen for Palestine, but also beyond. And it was really a pleasure to speak with two activists from Vilnius, from POPPIES, Palestine Action Group. I'll let our conversation speak for itself, and here it is.
Good morning. My name is Noura. I am originally from Palestine, but I was born and raised in Lebanon as a refugee. I have never been to Palestine in my life, never visited. And 2 years ago, I moved to Lithuania. And since October last year, there have been a lot of initiatives for Palestine. And I got to know the Lithuanian community for Palestine that does activism for Palestine. So honestly, I will not take credit for their work because they do all the planning and organization. But if there's something like small I can help with or contribute to, I definitely would do that. Yeah, because in Lithuania, there are not many Palestinians. So whenever there's like a chance to speak up, if there's like an interview, a speech, a podcast, something I have to do, I would definitely like volunteer to contribute. I participate in these activities as a Palestinian person because I think that Palestinian voice should be presented.
Yeah, hi, my name is Monica. I will just briefly say that I'm actually artist and designer, and I've been in like a critical engagement with like Lithuanian culture for a while, as this is part of my practice. And I came to contact with a bit of a older generation of organizing that was active. I met them in 2021, I think, but they've been active even previously. But Sheikh Jarrah was, I think, for me, a very like catalyzing moment. And so we met and we organized a protest back then. And then as a designer, not an organizer at that moment, I was like, this is at least what I can do. And I tried to do as much as possible and learn from them. And now this year, since this incremental genocide became a mass scale, open genocide, we've kind of pulled together in a bit of a newer constellation of people that is quite actually fluctuating, and everyone helps with whatever they can do. We try to make this organizing initiative not a single issue organizing, so whatever we present or do like a press releases for events or demos or conversations, we include gender inequality, queer, the whole policies of against the pinkwashing in Israel of the Israel entity, and then ecocide. So it was always, and we called, and then eventually after actually doing all of this, these things, we were then like, who we are. And it kind of is still very pleasantly, I would say, flowing process, and Now we call ourselves poppies because that's at least help some other people who want to participate in demos or events, help them to parse through to information and have like a little bit of a credibility that, I know, like, I've been there, I know who these people are, I trust that they will, that it's not a setup or like a provocation or things like that. And most of us who do things, we try to do part of it very much in a legal manner, like big demos, so that people with migratory background don't get endangered when they participate there. But we do take into consideration that a polite and modest protest is far from, you know, something actually effective. But having in mind that Lithuania is, it doesn't feel that close maybe to generally Mediterranean, I would say, even. And that we have a brooding war on the border of Ukraine. A lot of conversations got silent about what is possible to do and not, and how we need to kind of corroborate with NATO or EU, and a lot of narrative that is in any way against any of these points, any of these complicit, like the complicity, it's been very hard to get any sort of accountability for that, or answers, or even general popular movement for that. But it's eventually, I think now it's kind of, I feel it's at least changing a little bit. And it is much more, it's now seen still in a big fraction of people still see it a bit of a like a humanitarian crisis, which is not ideal, but it still is at least some sort of awareness. But I think it slowly moves into that it's actually settler colonialism, and this is what we see all around the world for past 500 years, and this should be kind of tackled. I would say there is lack of sharpness in some cases, but I don't want to downplay the effect that all of our work tries to do or make. And we've seen student organizing kind of slowly picking up and seeing and communicating with the kind of like the best know-how in the Europe, like how to do it. So it's kind of coming along.
There's a different relationship to Palestine from Eastern Europe versus Western Europe. And I think this is an interesting opportunity to look at this question. There's a lot that you brought up about this very particular moment with war in Ukraine that makes dynamics challenging. But I've spent time in Lebanon, for example, and if you are spending time in the Palestinian refugee camps, you'll hear many stories of people who studied in Eastern Europe in the 1970s and 80s, people who got scholarships. There's obviously in Western Europe, you have this dynamic of colonial history in terms of, the very direct relationship between like France, England, Germany, Spain, Portugal, to drawing up border lines that have really created the context for a lot of what we're seeing today. This is not to oversimplify the history of Eastern Europe, but I think what could be interesting is if you could talk a bit more about what it's like to organize in Lithuania, because the mainstream press internationally, when we're talking about Palestine work, mostly will show images from Paris, London, New York City, maybe a few other places in terms of where these protests are happening. So I think it's really important for people to get a sense that you're doing work there and what it's like. So my question is, please just if you could start by describing what it's like to a demonstration in Lithuania, describe the city, how are people responding, And then any points about the particular history between, the Eastern European reality and Palestine, which is different. And I don't know if a lot of people understand that. Noura, if you have any thoughts about that.
When I moved to Lithuania, I knew that largely the Lithuanian society is pro-Israel. Honestly, I attribute this to two points. The first point is ignorance, that many Lithuanians do not know anything about the reality of occupation, how Palestinians live under the Israeli occupation, whether in Gaza or the West Bank, or how Palestinians have been forcibly displaced from their homes in 1948, and how their descendants, like me, lived in refugee camps. So there is a lot of lack of information and knowledge, and the Lithuanian media is complicit in this 100%. There is so much of deliberate lack of information when it comes to the context of Palestine and the context of settler colonialism. It is always presented as two equal sides. They frame it as a conflict, which is not true. The Palestine context is a pure occupation and settler colonialism. There is just two unequal sides, the occupier, Israel, and the occupied, the Palestinians. The first point is lack of knowledge. The second point, I think it can be attributed to racism. I think that for a very long time, Arabs and Palestinians have been dehumanized so much, whether in media or literature or movies or other places. And we are made to look like monsters or terrorists. When people are dehumanized for a very long time, like the Palestinians, and how we are being portrayed and being reported as human animals. So it becomes much easier to kill these people. It becomes valid and justified because to commit a genocide, you have to first to dehumanize this population. I knew this reality in Lithuania, but I was more shocked when I came here, honestly. And I never understood how occupation can be rejected in one place, yet accepted in another. I have seen a lot of great solidarity movements in Lithuania with regards to Ukraine, and that is something beautiful, and I support it. But I just never understood how can occupation be rejected, yet overlooked in Palestine. So I never understood this, especially with Lithuania having been under occupation before. Naturally, people who have been occupied, they stand in solidarity with each other. So this is what maybe I was disappointed with when I came to Lithuania as a Palestinian. And honestly, it never felt safe for me 100% as a Palestinian living in Lithuania. I've always felt like there is an invisible censorship, and even when I've participated in several interviews or podcasts here, and whenever I read like the comments on those interviews, I got like horrified by how people, for example, accuse me of terrorism just because I'm talking about my people's rights, my land's rights, and even my own rights as a Palestinian. So, I think that Lithuanians are becoming more aware of the reality, and I attribute this to social media, which is like an alternative platform to traditional media, because as I said, the traditional media is complicit in the genocide. But of course, there are negative sides to social media because of the censorship and so on, of course, but this is another topic. But it gave some sort of platform for indigenous people and marginalized communities to speak up for their rights. So Lithuanians are finding out about Palestine through this way. It's very disappointing in general. And I think from this point of view, with regards to politics and Eastern Europe, maybe Monica has more, can explain more, because I'm not an expert. I just moved here 2 years ago. I don't know much information, but this is like the basic information that I know about.
Yeah, so I think Lithuania maybe could be for... just to make a little bit the climate a little bit more clearer, it has intrinsically something similar like Germany has, some sort of guilt and shame about the Holocaust, actually, and actively participating in it, and it's an undealt trauma. I actually should not say undealt trauma, it's like undealt consequences. To compensate that, there's a disproportional amount of philo-Semitism, and it's kind of just this kind of relief that to say that Jewish people should have a state, even though people just are parroting what they hear in just kind of general media. So I think that is it. And then another part is maybe that the liberation history of Palestine and the liberatory kind of politics of it were supported by communist parties. So I think that is, again, something that Lithuanians kind of find a little bit icky to engage, that liberatory could be what Lithuanians understand as occupation, because we understood communism as occupation. So there is just this very unlucky situation where contradictions overlap, and these kind of paradoxes make a very unwelcoming kind of ground for understanding. And on top of that, Lithuanians are really, really busy being trying to be white and trying to be Western. So they would just like hold on to general narrative. And I mean, we're lucky that we have a lot of students that go around Europe, study, return. There's a lot of like emigrants who, financial, like economic emigrants, who went and then return. So I think these people kind of try to bring actually this, like, what you would feel in Western Europe is kind of this common sense, polite empathy to other struggles. So that's kind of growing. But yeah, I mean, when we were organizing, and then like in every demo, you expect that someone will just scream in your face, like, how much you get paid to do this nonsense, or like saying like, oh, I'm really happy that you're just a handful of idiots doing this. That is like, you haven't bred successfully to make a popular movement. That was like the comments what we would get like last year, I think. I mean, still this year in the spring. Now they kind of stop. Now, like, we actually see that the families who are like extended families who have relatives in Lebanon and Palestine, they start coming up and like participating in it. There was like there was one glorious demo where all the food delivery guys went to it and stayed the whole demo. So that was, it was basically all kind of Central Asia guys who work kind of those very precarious jobs, but they still had time to participate. So that was really something that we thought we should also try to be like good and kind for them and for their time. So those are things. But yeah, we see like a lot of, there's also, yeah, when you look at France, who has such long history of protesting and demonstrating, and any, and like it's even like anecdotal, you know, here that like, oh, the French will like protest for anything, whereas Lithuanians will not protest about anything because they feel that the patience is the virtue, so they will just kind of go along. So yeah, there is a lot of these aspects of what makes this quote marks like a national mentality that stops for change. It's people really like comfort and status quo, and
thank you so much for sharing all of that context. I'm learning listening to both of you. It's a context I'm not familiar about, so thank you. I would just ask one last question, just for people who are listening to this, and you've shared like a lot of like background, a lot of like reflections about Lithuania. Can you describe each of you like an important moment this past year of organizing that stays with you, whether it was like being at a protest or in another context? Obviously, there's an urgency to continue protests now. So let's underline that. But I'm just wondering if you could share something that sort of can give people a visual, sort of an idea of what the movement in Lithuania has looked like this past year.
If I could share one moment that really stuck with me. This year, I was invited to speak for a discussion for a movie on Palestine called No Other Land in the cinemas. So after the discussion ended, there was a Lithuanian lady who came to me and she was crying. And she told me I had no idea what was happening up until I saw the movie and I heard you speaking. Now I know everything, and I will try to see how I can help as much as possible. And to me, these moments really resonate with me because, you know, we have just reached one person. We have impacted one person. And that, for me, it means the whole world. Of course, there's still a lot of lack of knowledge, as I said, but things are changing slowly, and I'm honestly very hopeful when it comes to Lithuania. Maybe some people would disagree with me, maybe because I'm a very positive person, but I feel like things are gradually changing to better. And as Monica mentioned before regarding the guilt of Lithuania when it comes to the Holocaust, I think that many Lithuanians are realizing that opposing Israel does not mean that you are anti-Semitic. You are just criticizing the actions of a government, just like how you criticize the actions of any government around the world. Of course, there is always hope, as I said, and more people are coming out to protest, to speak up, as I always say, my faith is in the civil society. My faith is in the Lithuanian community for Palestine here, that is not it's not afraid to lose what they have. No, as long as they speak the truth for Palestine. To me, as a Palestinian living in Lithuania, it's very important to speak up because to me, Palestine is a responsibility and it's a duty for me to speak up. It might be heavy sometimes to carry it, But honestly, to me, it's a very beautiful responsibility to carry it on my heart or on my back. And it's an honor for me to represent Palestine because I think that all Palestinians are they are representatives of their own country. Because I've always seen my existence as political, and because my existence is political, so speaking up for me is a form of resistance. I honestly expect the same from my from other Palestinians living around the world to carry with them Palestine wherever they go. I don't know, one last thing to say is that Lithuanians are becoming more aware as they travel, they meet Palestinians, they hear the narrative from Palestinians themselves, because for a very long time Lithuanians have heard the story of Palestine from other people and about Palestine, but never from the Palestinians. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
What I feel for me is like when you organize and you feel anxious about everyone's security and everyone's wellness, up until the point when you meet the group, you meet the whole people who are here for the one wish, they want to shout and they want to say that Palestine should be free. I think every time I still feel so, like, charged and like welcomed, and that it is a growing movement. And knowing that not all Lithuanians can or are willing to actually go and protest and be seen part of the group, when we organize cultural events like music related or discussions or like solidarity dinners, there's always a lot of new people turning up, and like a lot of people who are from Svana region who like show up for their brothers and sisters who we never had idea that they kind of live here, because they live in some sort of student, like a little student enclaves. They don't see how to participate in culture in Lithuania, because it's quite, you know, like its own thing. So that always sparks me joy. And in the last protest, what sparked joy and what was really surprising was that kids started to participate in demonstrations. So parents think that it's safe to do that because we have never seen children or like teenagers protest. So there was kids who were like first ones to grab the placards and to actually also discuss what more of a message they want to show. And I saw them up until the end. So that was something like, okay, so like people feel this is this kind of like curve shifted, and people don't see it as like a marginal dangerous thing. It's like a liberatory movement that everyone should support. So that was a marker of some hope for me.
That was a conversation with two organizers in Vilnius, Lithuania, from PAPIS, Palestine Action Group. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. We broadcast weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on CJLO 1690 AM, also in Montreal, on Wednesdays at 8:30 AM, on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 AM, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 AM, on Met Radio 1280 AM in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 AM, on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m., and on CJSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Thursdays at 4:30 p.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. We are also a podcast. Look us up. Just search Free City Radio on your podcast platform. Thank you so much to the Social Justice Center at Concordia University for your support. I'm Stefan Christoph, and I will speak to you next week.